Will you please open your Bibles now to Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they had found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. As we come to a close of 1986 in the church calendar, I'm sure there are many things that we could look back upon and give thanks for. There are many things that we could look back upon and we would love to forget them. But as we come to this time of the year, we are reminded that all around us there will be weddings. Some will get married in this next couple of weeks or 3 weeks or so. January weddings seem to be very popular sometimes. But I wonder, have you ever been at a wedding where you weren't invited? Or you might have been there to make up the numbers. But have you ever been at a wedding where you felt you weren't truly invited? Today I want to look at this portion of scripture with you, and I want to have a look at this man without a wedding garment. And I want to suggest, as we do, that we all look back upon 1986 and ask ourselves, have we been at the gospel feast of the Lord Jesus Christ without a wedding garment? Also, may we ask ourselves, will we enter the year 1987 and attend the gospel feast of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords without a wedding garment? You see, the parable that's here of the wedding garment, it opens before us today with a very vivid lesson of the highest consequences. The marriage here represents the union of humanity and divinity, and the wedding garment represents the character which all must possess who shall be accounted fit guests for the wedding. Now in this parable, as in the parable of the Great Supper, are illustrated the gospel invitation. Also its rejection by the Jewish people at that point in time. And also the call of mercy to the Gentiles. However, on the part of those who reject the invitation, this parable brings to our notice today a deeper insult and a dreadful punishment. Yes, the call to the feast is a king's invitation, and it proceeds from one who is vested with power to command. Indeed, it confers high honor, and yet the honor is unappreciated. In simple language, the king's authority is despised. Or it does appear that whilst the householder's invitation was regarded with indifference, the king's invitation is met with insult and murder. The servants were treated with scorn and were despitefully used, and some of them slayed. Now the householder, on seeing his invitation slighted, declared that none of the men who were bidden to come should taste of the supper. But for those who had done despite to the king, more than exclusion from his presence and from his table is decreed. And the Bible said very clearly, he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. In other words, the wrath of Almighty God was to fall upon them. In both parables, and there are two parables if you look at them closely, the feast is provided with guests. But the second shows that there is a preparation to be made by all who attend the feast. And those who neglect the preparation are cast out. And the Bible says, the king came in to see the guests and saw there was a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The judgment of God. And the Bible also teaches that the call to the feast had been given to Christ's disciples. Our Lord had sent out the 12, and afterward he sent out 70, proclaiming that the kingdom of God was at hand, and calling upon men to repent and believe the gospel. And generally speaking, the call was not heeded, and those who were invited did not come. And the servants were sent out later to say, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. The Bible teaches clearly that this was the message born to the Jewish nation after the crucifixion of Christ. But the nation that claimed to be God's peculiar people rejected the gospel. The gospel that was brought to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Their rejection brought a great persecution upon them that our Lord foretold what would happen. The king sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Oh yes, the judgment pronounced came upon the Jews in the destruction of Jerusalem. And then the third call to the feast represents the giving of the gospel to the Gentiles. The king said, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the king's servants, who went out into the highways, gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Oh my, when you look at them, it was a mixed company. And the Bible teaches that they came to share the provisions of the feast, but had no desire to honor the king. There was no commitment there. And when the king came in to view the guests, the real character of all was revealed. For every guest at the feast, there had been provided a wedding garment. And the garment was a gift from the king. And by wearing it, the guests showed their respect for the giver of the feast. But there was one man who did not show his respect for the king, for he was clothed in his common dress. And the Bible teaches that he had refused to make preparation required by the king. Indeed, the garment provided for him at great cost, he refused to wear, and by doing so, he insulted the Lord Christ. And then the king demanded, How camest thou in hither, not wearing or not having on a wedding garment? And the man could not answer. He was a self-condemned man. Then the king said, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And the Bible teaches that by the king's examination of the guests at the feast is represented a work of judgment. And the guests at the gospel feast are those who profess to serve God, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But not all who profess to be Christians are true disciples. Before the final reward is given, it must be decided who are fitted to share the inheritance of the righteous. And this decision must be made prior to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. For when he comes, his reward is with him to give every man according as his work shall be. So before Christ's coming, the character of every man, every woman's work will have to be determined. And to every one of Christ's followers, the reward will have been apportioned according to his or her deeds. The Bible teaches very clearly that it is while men and women are still dwelling upon the earth that the work of investigative judgment takes place in the very courts of heaven. Have you gone through 1986 attending the feast of the gospel and you have not had on the wedding garment? Will you enter 1987 in all of your religious fervor? Oh, you will be at church twice on Sunday. You will be at the prayer meeting. You will tithe faithfully. Oh, you will attend the gospel feast. But will you have a wedding garment on? Will you? Every one of us are examined according to the record of the books in heaven and according to our deeds. And the destiny of each one of us is fixed forever. Now, on the other hand, the wedding garment in the parable represents the pure, spotless character which Christ's true followers will possess. And the Bible teaches that this garment is given to the church, that she should not be arrayed, that she should be arrayed, rather, in fine linen, clean and white, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And the Bible teaches very clearly in Scripture that fine linen is the symbol of the righteousness of saints. Yes, it is the righteousness of Christ, his own unblemished character, that through faith is imparted to all who receive him as their personal Savior and Lord. Beloved people, this garment was worn by our first parents, Adam and Eve, until they committed sin. Then, naked and ashamed, they tried to supply the place of the heavenly garment by sewing together fig leaves for a covering. The Bible also teaches that this is what the transgressors of God's law have done ever since. Yes, they have and are sewing together all kinds of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Many people have worn garments of their own devising, and by works of their own, they have tried to cover their sins and make themselves acceptable to God. The Bible also teaches that there is nothing man can devise that will take the place of his lost garment of innocence. No fig leaf garment, no worldly citizen dress can be worn by those who sit down with Christ and the angels at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Only the garment which Christ himself has provided can make us acceptable to appear in God's presence. This covering, the garment or robe of his own righteousness, will Christ put upon every repentant, believing soul. Christ Jesus says in Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Yes, indeed, this robe woven in the loom of heaven has in it not one thread of human devising. The Bible teaches that everything that we of ourselves can do is defiled by sin. But the Son of God was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. The Bible defines sin to be the transgression of the law of God. And Christ was obedient to every requirement of the law. He was the one who delighted to do the will of his Father because the law of God was within his heart. And you and I, if we do like to do the will of God, the law of God should be in our heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not bow down to any other idol. And as we look once again at the guests at the marriage feast, we see that they were inspected by the king. The only accepted ones were those who had obeyed his requirements and put on the wedding garment. And so it is with the guests at the gospel feast. All must pass the scrutiny of the great king, and only those are received who have put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. The man who came to the feast without a wedding garment represents the condition of many in our world today. They profess to be Christians and lay claim to the blessings and privileges of the gospel, yet they feel no need of a transformation of character. Many have never felt the need of true repentance for sin. Many people do not realize their need of Christ or exercise faith in him. Indeed, as hearers of the word, they come to the wedding feast, but they have not put on the garment or the robe of Christ's righteousness. Many who call themselves Christians are mere human moralists. They have refused the gift which alone could enable them to honor Christ by representing him to the world. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to them a strange work. Indeed, they are not doers of the word. And the heavenly principle that distinguished those who are one with Christ from those who are one with the world. You see, the professed followers of Christ are no longer a separate and peculiar people. Today, the line of demarcation is indistinct. Church people today are subordinating themselves to the world, to its practices, to its customs, to its selfishness. Beloved, the church has gone over to the world in transgression against God, when the world should have come over to the church in obedient acceptance of God. Those who reject the gift of Christ's righteousness are rejecting the attributes of character which would constitute them the sons and daughters of God. And in the parable when the king inquired, "How camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" The man was speechless, and so it will be in the great judgment day. Men and women may now excuse their defects of character, but in that day they will have no excuse to offer. Solemn will be the day of final decision. In prophetic vision, the Apostle John described it this way. In Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. He said, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written according to their works." Oh my, sad will be the retrospect in that day when men and women stand face to face with eternity. Indeed, the whole life will present itself just as it has been. The world's pleasures, riches, and honors will not then seem important. Men and women will see them as nothing. But they then will also see that the righteousness they despised is alone of value. They will see that they have fashioned their characters under the deceptive allurements of Satan. There will be no future probation in which to prepare for eternity. There will be no second chance. It is in this life and this life only that we are to put on the garment or robe of Christ's righteousness. The days of our probation are fast closing, and to us the warning is given. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Beloved, beware lest it find you unready. Take heed lest you be found at the king's feast without a wedding garment. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh And blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Beloved, should it be today, tomorrow, we know not when, but should the King come, will he find you wearing the wedding garment? Will he? May we pray. Our Father, you have spoken very solemnly to us today through your word and by your spirit. Oh God, have mercy on us today. Forgive us for our hypocrisy. Put into our heart today, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, those things which are eternal and those things which count for eternity. Amen. We will sing our closing hymn, which is 399. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God.